Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Tom Dempsey with his 63-yard field goal against the Lions. And Mike Dettelier joins us now, our friend, WWL NFL and college football analyst. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Tom.
Boy, for a long time, Tom Dempsey was our his field goal was our Super Bowl, was it not?
It was one of the biggest moments, certainly, in Saints history. And it stayed that way for a long time. And Diliberto would always get on him that, Tom, you kicking that field goal, you set the Saints franchise back 10 years. Only because the owner at that time thought he had the next Vince Lombardi and J.D. Roberts off of one play.
And so that was his first game, wasn't it?
It was his first game as coach. And, you know, Tom did a lot of shows with Buddy and I, and also one of his last events he did. He had been suffering with dementia and then later Alzheimer's in life. But he actually did a show with Bobby and I in 2011 at the Silver Slipper. He came over. He was just shocked. So many people still remembered him. He was as down-to-earth a guy as you could ever believe. So I would get reports back about his health from his daughter Megan. She would let me know how he was doing and everything else. But he was a great guy, and he tells a story, and I've heard him say it numerous times, that J.D. was not the guy to send him on the field to kick the field goal. That there was confusion on the sidelines, and that actually it was Don Heinrich. Don was the Saints running backs coach, and Don basically took over late in that game. And they were talking about just letting Bill Kilmer just throw the football deep downfield. Mm-hmm. Just hang one up there. And Heinrich was, no. He says, let Stumpy kick it. He had seen him kick it before. And Tom had told me I'd kicked him longer in practice and in pregame, but never in a regular season game. And he said, that's a lot different. And he said, it was actually Don Heinrich. And he said, the only thing Heinrich told him was, Stumpy, go give it a ride.
And
he said, that's the only thing that Heinrich told him, Stumpy, go give it a ride. And he said, the only thing I told Scarpatti, who was the holder that day, was, hey, I'm going to take an extra step back. And if you watch the video of it, Tom is so used to a certain rhythm.
Yeah.
It's a sort of a stutter step as he gets to the ball, because he's not used to hitting it that way. Everybody talks about the sound. The people that were on the field, they talk about the sound. Tom said, I never heard it. I was so concentrated on getting the ball up quick, because when you kick it that long, you can't kick it up high. You got to kick it out of trajectory. And you had to get it over the line first. Mm-hmm. And so he said, you know, I never heard it. And he said, you know, once I went through my follow-through and everything, I sort of looked up, and he said, at the corner of my eye, I saw somebody raise their hands. And he said, then I heard the crowd just explode. But he said, you know, I've heard through, and so have you and me and everybody else. There's been like 500,000 people that have been in that stadium.
Yes. One guy texted in and said he was there and he was born in 76. Really? Well, that's interesting. You know, you don't often see, if you watch the film, because I guess it was video at that time, but you don't often see NFL officials, two of them jumping off of their feet because a field goal is good, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess maybe that's what he saw. He said, you know, it was such a blur. It happened so quickly that, you know, you're not paying attention to a lot of that sort of thing. But, you know, the story about it wasn't J.D. That didn't surprise me one bit. You know, you kind of knew who J.D. was. The fact that it was Heinrich didn't surprise me either. Dom was a take charge guy. Even though he was an assistant coach, he was a take charge type of guy. And the best part about it is Tom would always say, I'm the only guy in NFL history that, you know, I accomplished this. The next year I'm on the cover of the Saints press guide. They cut him in preseason.
Yeah, he said he had some issues, did he not, with the banquet
circuit? Yeah, pushing the plate. He said he couldn't stop. He had been on the circuit, you know, the talk circuit, and he said he probably was 25 pounds heavier than what he had been the year before. He went 1-for-8 field goal-wise in the preseason.
That's not good.
That's not good. That's not good. So he said, they gave me the pink slip. I was off. And here's the crazy thing. You know, he actually played 9 more years in the NFL. He kicked
Eagles
for 9 more years. Eagles, Rams, Houston Oilers, Buffalo Bills.
I saw his shoe in the Hall of Fame in Canton.
And he's also got it, the ball here at the Saints Hall of Fame. So, you know, he's still looked at, you know, big time. And people here remembered him. And he was so gracious. He was a you know, he sort of went to school out in California. He grew up in the Midwest and that sort of thing. So he wasn't from here, but he stayed here. He said, you know, everybody was so gracious. And he said, man, you know, how much I love the city. I love Louisiana. And I love them a little bit, but they love me back a lot more. And you know, to hear him say that, you know, you and I, we grew up here. So it's different. But to hear somebody outside the realm say that is different. But it is true. I think you embrace, because I heard Joe Burrow say it. He had no connection to Louisiana, none. And look the embrace that Louisiana gave him back. He just gave a little embrace, and they gave him a big one back.
Didn't Drew tell Zion that if you love New Orleans, they'll love you back?
Yep, he sure did. And so it's a different town than a lot of others, because I've had people in different professions. If it's been in the engineering firm, if it's been in the Hollywood firm, sports, about this is a special place. You know, it really is a special place in so many ways, and that a lot of it, so much to do with the people and how much they treat you so good. I did an interview a couple years back with Sam Darnold, who's now the starting quarterback for the Jets. He comes to the Manning camp. He grew up right outside of Los Angeles. And so he's looking to leave, and I grabbed him late, and because he knew Coach O and I knew Coach, he was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do the interview. And he was like, man, you know, people here are so nice. He said, you live in the city. They mean in Los Angeles. They mean there. And it, you know, it just goes to show, here's this 20-year-old kind of telling you, man, how much I enjoy it. You know, here in Louisiana, he wasn't crazy about the heat and humidity of July.
Yeah, that we could all do without.
Yeah, but he loved the people and how much, you know, everywhere he had went in that little short time frame, they had treated him like gold. And he's like, you know, nobody knows, you know, like he said, a few people know who I am, but come on. Most people don't know I'm Sam Darnold, you know, the quarterback at Southern Cal. And so he kind of brought that out, too. And you hear it from so many people.
Getting back to Tom Dempsey, there was another part to that story, that kick, and WWL had a part in it, did we not?
Yeah. Bees hit the generator. See, I never heard the kick live. We were listening to it on the radio, and then it kills. And so for the last, I'm going to say, 20 seconds of the game, you didn't hear anything. It just went dead, but the bees had gotten to the generator. And so they got him to redo the broadcast as it should have been. But yeah, the bees attacked the generator at that moment in time and actually killed the sound.
Tom Dempsey told me, because he was on a game show that we had, that Don Criqui had
Don
the call
Criqui,
on
yeah.
TV. Criqui, yeah.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a big fan of Don Criqui, so he had his...
Oh, no.
He had his... you probably heard the story as well, that he had his copy of it overdubbed with Al Wester's voice, who I believe did the call that we just heard, right?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. I was doing the play-by-play at that time. And so, but Criqui did, Criqui had some of the, what I call the F games. And, you know, and the Saints at that time weren't real good.
Right.
So he got a lot of the Saints games at that point. And so he had grown up quite a hatred or dislike by Saints fans and players about some of the comments he had made. So he wasn't a Criqui fan at all.
It wasn't a bad call, though, with Criqui, because he said, if you've seen it, he says, ball's in the air, and then there's a pause. He says, I don't believe it. And then all of a sudden he starts screaming that it's good.
And it was his comment of, that's got a shot.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's
because
exactly right.
You know, as a kicker, you sort of know if you got a chance. And Dempsey had always said, I knew I could kick it that long. I just didn't know if I could kick it that straight. Because the longer it goes, that ball has a tendency to sort of tail on you a little bit. And so, you know, you sort of see it from another view. The other thing, too, is, and Buddy used to always give Pete Finney just holy hell about this. Pete actually left the press box and never saw the kick live.
No kidding.
And Pete won a bunch of awards writing about the incident. And Buddy was saying, listen, people get put in jail for petty larceny. You stealing awards in typical Diliberto fashion. You stealing awards for writing about something you didn't see. And his comeback was, Buddy, you would have been right behind me, but you had money on the game. And he's right.
Real quick, the record stood for 43 years, right? And the people that broke it, that was all of them were done in Denver, correct, with the thinner atmosphere?
It was a thinner atmosphere. And, man, Tom would say, man, I could have kicked that from five more yards farther if I'd have been kicking that in Denver with the air that they had there. So, yeah, it was interesting.
Thank you.
It stood for that long.
Yep. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your time and the remembrances. I really do. And we all miss Tom Dempsey, and condolences to his family. We'll be back. WWL.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.